Welcome back to the BunnSports.com podcast. I'm Jacob Bunn, joined by the college football professor as we look back at week two in college football and look ahead at week three. There are some interesting matchups upcoming, ranked versus ranked games, but we had some of those this past weekend. Number 19, Oklahoma, took down number 23, Tennessee, 31-24 in a pair of overtimes. Tennessee had a 17-0 lead and let that evaporate, and Oklahoma came back and won. That's the largest home-blown lead ever in the history of Tennessee football. And I know you and I, well, I picked Tennessee last week. I think you did as well, or maybe you picked Oklahoma. But anyway, we expected Tennessee to have a good showing. They did, but they let it go at the end. Explain that.
It's hard to. In fact, I just think they froze up at the end. You know, they were in control of the game, playing really well. And I'd say the last 10, 12 minutes, they just really didn't have much effort.
Wasn't good. Wasn't good at all. Another bad mark on the SEC last weekend. Arkansas was taken down by Toledo. Number 18, Arkansas, 16-12. Arkansas is the first FBS team in the last 10 years to have 500 yards, one or less turnovers, and come away with only 12 points. It was a truly anemic performance for the Razorbacks.
Yes, and in fact, of the 12 points, two of them Toledo gave to them by just, you know, they took an automatic safety.
Yep.
And it's just, I can't explain it. And I've tried to come up with what would be the headline. Would it be that Rockets rocketed past Arkansas in Little Rock? Or was it that Toledo just slopped the hogs in Little Rock?
Only Toledo would probably be it.
That might be it. And Jacob, think about this. In the last five games that Arkansas has played in Little Rock, they've lost four of them.
That's just amazing to me, and I think there ought to be some pressure put on Brett Bielema. After all, he's in his third year now. He needs to be establishing things, and this is going in the wrong direction for sure. I watched some of that game. I thought Brandon Allen had a horrible game. I really did. I thought when he got into the red zone, he couldn't complete anything. So a lot of things to work on for Arkansas. Number 14, LSU, 21-19. We both picked the Tigers last week. They were up big at one point in the game, but allowed Dak Prescott and the Bulldogs to come back and make a game of it. But they continued their school record streak of opening wins with now 13 in a row, because, of course, they didn't play that first game against McNeese State. They get Auburn at home this weekend, but a big win for the Tigers.
Yes, and as you said, we thought that LSU would win. But, Jacob, I have to tell you that I thought they would win with a little bit more comfort than they did. I mean, they really had to – you're talking about sweating it out. They really sweat it out. I can't imagine what Les Miles was thinking, you know, in his quirky way. He's probably sitting over thinking, I reckon we're going to lose this game or something of that nature. But, you know, Dak Prescott and that Wilson receiver, big receiver, they're really a powerful duo.
They are, and they could give some teams trouble this year, more than they first thought. A lot of teams wrote Mississippi State off, but they could challenge. Michigan State, rather, beat Oregon 31-28, and I think this is one we all thought they would get the win at home. They did. Big win for Michigan State. Big win for the Big Ten there. And where do you think they stand now nationally?
Well, they have to be right up at the top because they've beaten one of the premier teams when they beat the Ducks. But, you know, the Ducks They may not be quite as formidable as they've been being, but nonetheless, that's a big, huge win for Michigan State. And that game was quite a game. They battled it out, and I guess you'd say the best team won.
Let's talk about Steve Spurrier for a second. Kentucky gets the win 26-22. Kentucky got its first road SEC win since 2009, snapping a 20-game conference losing streak. A big win for the Cats, obviously, and I think they're improving rapidly. But in the other direction goes South Carolina. Steve Spurrier, this thing's gone off the rails, really. They almost lost to North Carolina in week one. They survived that game. They lose to Kentucky. Now they go on the road at Georgia, where they're likely to get beaten by double digits and then some. Where is this program right now?
And they're going on the road without the quarterback.
Yeah.
He's has some kind of infection, and he will be out. South Carolina, right now, this thing's really, really changed. They're just not a good football team at this point. That's all you can say. It's not a good football team because they did not play well against North Carolina. And Kentucky really probably should have won at a larger score than they did.
Perry Orth will be the quarterback for South Carolina. As you said, Connor Mitch down with an injury right now. So let's take a look at some of the games in Week 3 as we start to get into some teams get into conference play. We really start to get into more of the meat of the schedule. There are some interesting games that we won't pick Thursday night. Clemson plays at Louisville. That could be interesting. Northern Illinois plays at number one Ohio State. That's one of the tougher games on Ohio State's schedule there. Georgia Tech is going to take a trip to Notre Dame to South Bend. Of course, Malik Zaire is out for the year. Last week in the 34-27 win over Virginia. Big win for Notre Dame, but a big loss there with Zaire. So Georgia Tech comes to town. Who do you like in this game? Very interesting matchup.
I think Georgia Tech will win the game rather easily.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the option attack is going to give Notre Dame's defense all kinds of fits, and I just don't see the replacement quarterback, and his name escapes me, for Zaire being as effective as he was at that position. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think Georgia Tech gets the win. How about Texas Tech at Arkansas? This, of course, an Arkansas team that's no longer ranked after getting upset by Toledo. Now Texas Tech comes to Fayetteville to play Arkansas at home. I think Arkansas gets this win. I think they bounce back, play well, and get a win over a Power 5 team here.
I do, too. And, in fact, I don't even think this game will be close. I think Arkansas Arkansas really, you know, they lost the game, but they showed a lot of firepower. As you said, they had over 500 yards and produced 10 points on the offensive side of the ball. But nonetheless, they just slopped it around. That's all you can say. But I think they'll be back, and I think they'll play well, and I think they'll beat Texas Tech rather handily.
Sixth-ranked USC is hosting Stanford, 7 o'clock ABC Saturday night. Any chance the Trojans can go down here?
I can't imagine it, but who knows?
Either. BYU travels to UCLA. We've seen what BYU can do. They can throw Hail Marys. If you're not, at the end of the game, you better have your pass defense ready. But can they do it this week, or can they beat? Have any chance to beat UCLA in the Rose Bowl?
I really don't see it, but because I think I think BYU's gotten more out of their team in two games than they should have, and but they've got a good football team and they play hard. But I don't see how they can stay with UCLA.
Yeah, I'm going Trojans and Bruins in those last games myself. Florida at Kentucky, 6:30 SEC Network. Big game for Jim McElwain and the Florida Gators. But also Kentucky trying to go two in a row here and snap one of the longest losing streaks you'll ever see. I think it's 28 games or so they've lost in a row to Florida now. Can they get a win this weekend?
Well, you know, I can't figure out why I would say this. I don't know, you know, I don't have any reason to say this, but somehow I think Florida will win this game.
I agree. I totally agree. I think Florida's going to get the win on the road. I think Jim McElwain's turning that thing around, and this is going to be a sign of it early on here.
But do you think,
Florida,
Jacob, he'll be scolding Taylor, the running back, again?
Yeah, I don't think so. That was quite a scene on the Florida sideline in their touchdown win over East Carolina. South Carolina at number 7, Georgia. This one's at 5 o'clock on ESPN. We mentioned it earlier. I just think Georgia's going to run away and hide in this one. I think it could be 31-10 or something of that nature.
This could be an ugly game, but, you know, this is the kind of thing that happens sometime with while I say that South Carolina's looked really bad in for two weeks, but somehow, sometimes Spurrier is able to get his team to play in a way, you know, we thought he'd play pretty good, he didn't. Now we think he'd play bad, he might play good. But I'm with you. I don't see how they can beat Georgia.
A couple of other interesting games. Colorado, Colorado State. Cal at Texas. Nebraska at Miami. Rutgers at Penn State. Penn State looking for a and Rutgers both on the bottom right now as far as where their programs are with all the things going on, and they could both use that win. So let's pick our final two games here, and we'll start with number 18, Auburn, taking a trip to Tiger Stadium to play number 13, LSU. Now, we haven't talked about what happened to Auburn last week, and of course it was one of the SEC's black eyes when they escaped in an overtime victory over Jacksonville State. Great play, by the way, by Jacksonville State, but they are an FCS team. Auburn had no business struggling with them. Here they go on the road at LSU in Tiger Stadium in an afternoon, and you would just think that Leonard Fournette and the Tigers are going to run crazy on Auburn. Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, I think the one thing that Auburn must think about is that LSU has a really good punter, and they can't depend on having a shank punt at the end of the game to help them win, so they better have another strategy. So if their strategy is wait till the end and win by a shank punt, they may go down. But I really think LSU will win the game. But, you know, the question is, can the quarterback at LSU, can he really play well? Can he do what he needs to do? Brandon Harris, we're talking right. about. But Auburn, you know, has found, you know, we all thought, or everybody was talking about other running backs, but Peyton Barber has really been an outstanding running back for Auburn this year.
Yes, he has.
And so I think the question, really, both quarterbacks, what are they going to do? But I have a sneaking suspicion that we don't have to wonder about what Leonard Fournette will do.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette has pretty much established that they're going to pound him. It's just a matter of how much and how often. You know, I think Auburn gets the win here. I think they're going to go into Tiger Stadium and get a close win. I think that Jeremy Johnson will play much better than he's played the last 2 weeks. I don't know. LSU seems very one-dimensional to me, and I think if Auburn can stop that run and make them throw, they have, of course, great wide receivers on the edge, Trayvon Doral, Malachi Dupree, who I think very highly of. But I don't think Brandon Harris is quite there yet to beat this Auburn team. I think Auburn's offense is going to play much better. I like Auburn in this game.
Well, I'm going to go with LSU, but I might just simply say that while the real big question of LSU is the quarterback,
yeah.
but they really do have good receivers. So those good receivers may help him out a lot, especially with that running attack. And I also think that LSU has a very good secondary.
Yeah.
And I think LSU...
They're missing Jalen Mills, but they do. That's a big part of their secondary. But you're right, they do have a very talented secondary. Number 15, Ole Miss at number 2, Alabama. This is late game, 8:15 on ESPN. Of course, last year we know what happened. Alabama went to Vaught-Hemingway Stadium and came up 6 points short. They threw a long pass there at the end, and it was intercepted by Cinquez Golson, and Ole Miss and the goalposts came down in Oxford. Something tells me they won't be coming down in Tuscaloosa no matter what happens Saturday night. But can Alabama get this victory? Can they get a revenge, I guess you would say, victory over Ole Miss this weekend?
I don't know if it will be like a revenge game, but I think it's going to be a great game, and I think it's two very good football teams. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at this point now, you understand things change as we go along. So we're simply talking about in the third week of the season, I think here are two of the best, I'm going to say top five teams in the country playing each other.
Yeah.
But that's what happens. And then after six games, we may have a different top five. But at this point, I think Ole Miss and Alabama are both very, very good football teams. Ole Miss, new quarterback, Kelly, and he has pretty good bloodlines, has really played well. And but I think Alabama will win the game, but it's going to be a real challenge for them.
Yeah, Ole Miss became the first SEC team to score 70 points in consecutive games and the first team in any conference to do it since 1968. So that's a very we're talking about Tennessee Martin and Fresno State, which is not exactly great competition. But Ole Miss has done some impressive things. I mean, I don't think it's their offense that's the strength of their team. I think it's the defense. You look at that Ole Miss defense. They returned 7 starters from the number 1 scoring defense in the country last year. I think this is going to be a very good football game. I could see it 20-17 or something, a very defensive-type game. I don't think Ole Miss is going to be able to open it up near as much as they think they are against Alabama. And I think Alabama will get a close victory, but this could be the game of the year for the Tide. I really think they will have their hands full and then some Saturday.
I think one of the things, Jacob, about this team, I know we're still wondering about the settling down of the quarterback, and it might just be that now that Coker has established himself as the starting quarterback, that he might get, say, 80% of the reps this week getting ready, and it might make that offense a little smoother. But I think the best thing offensively they've got going for them is the combination of Drake and Henry. And Henry is quite a blocker that, you know, he can really put some blocks on, and you can't ignore him because he's such a good running back. But then he can really help Drake get open. And when Drake gets in the open field, he's pretty dangerous.
He is. Both of those Alabama running backs, as you mentioned, very dangerous. And then they've got a fleet of receivers who can catch the ball too. But so does Ole Miss. And the size differential from Alabama's secondary and Ole Miss's tall receivers, you look at Evan Engram, the tight end, and also, of course, we know about Laquan Treadwell coming back from the injury last year, is going to be interesting. I think Alabama doesn't want to get too many long passes over the top. It could be a long night for the secondary if that happens. But we'll see. It'll be a good game Saturday night, 8:15 ESPN, and another jam-packed weekend of college football is upcoming as we roll into week three of college football season. We'll be back with you next week to talk about what happened. Could be another bad weekend for the SEC, but something tells me it won't be. But the college football professor and I will be back then to talk about it and look ahead to week four in the college football season. Until then, this is the Bun Sports Podcast for the college football professor. I'm Jacob Bun.